Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
We were supposed to play the Kristen McQuarrie song today.
Yeah, we were supposed to.
I love that. I was on the road listening when you guys
The Age of Aquarius.
The Age of Aquarius. That would have been fitting for you to, because you've sprung that on her 2 weeks
you
ago.
You dictated that in your stead, when you're not here.
It was in my contract.
Right. And when Kristen sits in for you, that you still play the Zorn
theme
song.
Play the Zorn song. And she was caught. She almost got up and walked out.
Yeah, she's furious. She's like, I never saw her so upset.
My fellow mincing rascal. But yep. She says she drew the line there. But then you guys had this idea for the dawning of the Age of Aquarius.
All Wendy's idea. Great idea.
And I helped. I wrote some lyrics for it.
Oh, you did?
I was kind of expecting that this would come back.
Oh, I didn't get the lyrics.
Oh, really? Mm.
Send them to me again. I'll record it.
All right. Will you? Really? I think it's a great. And then you could spring it on me, and I could get up and walk out. It could be a whole thing. We could do it every week. It'd be funnier and funnier.
Every week it'll be better. The last couple Mondays, you've been traveling. You've been going to other parts of the country, huh?
Well, the other parts of the Midwest. Last weekend, I went to the True False Documentary Film Festival down in Columbia, Missouri, where I ran into John Williams a couple of years ago. He was just hanging out down there. I don't know what he was doing. Seeing documentaries, so he said.
Yeah.
And it's on the campus of the University of Missouri. And it's really fun. Every year they have huge crowds there, enormous auditorium filled with people. And then they bring in, you know, the director, sometimes the stars of the documentaries. And
what do you think happened in the world of documentaries? There was a time where if you said to people, hey, there's a movie you have to see, it's great. And then you mentioned it's a documentary, they're like, yeah, thanks. I'll hold off, but not anymore.
I think that Ken Burns played a role in that. That whole Civil War thing, which is now like 25 years old, I think. I mean, when Civil War was early 90s, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Where that was, it was so interesting, so engaging, and it didn't feel like homework, even though it sounded a little bit like homework.
Right.
That changed the way people thought about it. There was also a documentary called Thin Blue Line, which was maybe 30 years ago now.
Yeah.
Which was about a
murder case.
Murder case, a wrongful conviction. And that played in regular theaters.
Yeah.
And it was one, I think, that really, and then people got into it. And I think part of it is also that a lot of these young filmmakers the barrier to entry is low. You can get these cameras and editing equipment where you used to have to have an enormous studio backing and everything to do it. But now the equipment is just not that expensive.
You can
shoot pretty good stuff with, you know, commercial or, you know, consumer quality cameras and microphones. And
so they don't scare people off anymore. That's a good thing.
I don't think so. And they're, you know, they really are fun, and they take, you know, some of them are very serious, some of them are funny, some of them, it's really cool. And the nice thing about it is that you see them at this festival. First of all, you give yourself permission to watch like 10 documentaries in 2.5 days. So you're just like going from theater to theater watching, which you never do at home. Because say to my wife, you know, we could just stay home and watch Netflix and Amazon. They got great documentaries. And she said, yeah, but we won't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so you go
true.
There and do that. And it's also really nice when the stars are there. The people who are actually in the documentary will walk out on stage afterwards and go, got any questions for me?
If you like documentaries, and you seem to, there's a show on called Documentary Now. It's made by Bill Hader and Fred Armisen.
Heard about
it's really
that.
Funny.
It's really that. Funny. And if you know the source material, like I think all of the documentaries they've featured in the two seasons are all parodies of real ones. I'm trying to think if there were any that weren't. But if you know the source material, it makes it even better. If you don't, it's still good, but knowing it helps.
And some of these films come to the Siskel Center. So there's a Chicago Documentary Festival. We just happen to like this one down in Columbia, Missouri.
Yeah.
So anyway, speaking of funny stuff, you guys want to hear the top 10 tweets of February?
Yes.
I knew
Please.
You would.
Hoping you'd
It's a little
that.
Late, but I had them ready 2 weeks ago, but then McQuarrie jumped in.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Okay, this is the top 10 tweets across my feed in February. And again, I'm gonna give Jasmine the attributions, because that slows down the rhythm of my timing here. It's very important.
So you can find out who came up with these originally by visiting our Facebook
page,
right?
Yes, visit your Facebook page, and I'll give that link to Jasmine before I go. Blood donation is a noble act. So why does the Red Cross ask so many questions, like, whose blood is this, and how did you get it into milk jugs? If you were really creative, you'd have come up with another shape to think outside of.
I love that one.
I would have instantly hit E.T. with a hammer and screamed the entire time.
Did you notice that our favorite ones are always the most sinister ones?
Yes.
I don't know why. But
mine
they are.
Too. Mine too.
I don't know why.
I have, you know, this is part of the thing I do every week where I put a bunch, I put like 10 tweets up, sometimes 15, and ask people to vote on them.
Yeah.
And I always put up ones that I like that are kind of
dark. The darker ones?
Yeah, like the one about the blood donation. I thought that was great.
Very funny.
And no one, people didn't vote for it.
It's too long.
They like the lighter things. Yeah, it is kind of long.
That's the only thing.
Well, it's part of the new, you know, you now get 280 characters. So some of them take good advantage of it, but some of them aren't as crisp. Establish dominance in couples therapy by using only always and never statements. You know, because therapists always say, like, one of the things when you're arguing is never say you always do this or you never do that.
Yeah.
But you establish
sometimes
you establish dominance by saying that only using those statements. I like that. I know. Okay, before you and your girl get married, ask her if she would leave you for Michael B. Jordan. If she says no, drop her, because there ain't no point in building a marriage based on lies.
That's funny.
Wendy doesn't like it.
I don't like that one. Well, and Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, he's the actor.
Oh, you don't
he's
know
in
Michael
a
B.
bunch of movies. Now he's in Black Panther.
You don't know Michael Michael B. Jordan.
I'm thinking Michael Jeffrey.
Yeah, Johanna. I read that to Johanna. Showed, you know, we went to see the movie over the weekend, and she went, "Oh yeah, of course."
Right. In a minute, you know, he'd be gone. Be.
So our marriage is not based on lies. thoughts and prayers, the air guitar of helping.
That is the best one ever.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Oh, my God.
Now, this one's from Peter Sagal. You guys
can we explain it just for a second? Because Wendy and I discussed this a little bit off air the other day about the thoughts and prayers. It really is as well-intentioned as it is. And I guess the best example is what went on with the school shooting in Florida, where those kids said, thanks for the thoughts and prayers, but instead of thinking about us and praying for us, let's actually do something about it. Let's do something concrete.
Right.
No one wants to admit it, but when you say thoughts and prayers, it is as well-intentioned as it is, it doesn't get it done.
And now when you hear people say that and you think of someone playing air guitar,
right.
It's perfect.
But it's true, because you're not really delivering a message by saying that. You're really not showing that you care. It's just become the catchphrase to say when someone suffers.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And it's also become kind of a punchline, too. Something very minor will happen.
Right.
Somebody go, thoughts and prayers.
Yeah.
And if you saw someone in person, you wouldn't say my thoughts and prayers. You just said, I'm sorry about your dog.
Yeah.
That's what you say.
Yeah.
I guess for writing stuff, thoughts and prayers is the way to go, but there's no meaning behind it anymore.
None anymore. Yeah.
I love that one.
Good. I'll mark that down. I'll put a star next to it.
Mm-hmm.
This one is actually, I don't usually attribute this. This is Peter Sagal, the host of Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Yeah.
He's a local guy.
Yeah.
He says, arguing with people on Twitter is like eating potato chips. It inflames you with rage and frustration until you feel ill with despair. Also, I need to find a new brand of potato chips.
Very funny.
One out of three people is addicted to drugs. Look at the person on your left. Now look at the person on your right. Chances are one of them has some drugs to share with you.
All right. Give it up, guys. Give me drugs.
Junkyard.
Who did that line on TV? Give me drugs.
I can
give
help you
drugs.
With that.
Who's that?
Vinny Barbarino.
Yep.
I am never going to play Trivial Pursuit with Bill Leff. That's my goal for the year.
Oh, good.
Junkyard dogs aren't born mean. They're just so sick of all the clutter.
Good.
And the last one. Instead of donating my body to science, I'll donate it to whoever has the best idea for a practical joke involving a dead body.
Oh, my God.
It's a dark one for you. So those are the top
very funny.
February. And
very funny.
I'll have a link with the attribution. I'll put that on your Facebook
page. That's Eric Zorn. Our thoughts and prayers certainly are with him. We'll talk more with Eric next. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Eric Zorn is here. Wendy, it just hit me. You should call Barbara Streisand and do what she did and get Tiki cloned. She did that with her dog.
Oh, it might be too late now.
You don't have you have some DNA there at the house.
On the carpet.
Oh, I guess.
Yeah. Could probably swing that.
That's
just think about it. Doesn't hurt. She'll talk you down.
That's weird. I love my dog, but you know what?
You don't want a clone
it
of your
would
dog?
Come back as like the Frankenstein version of
Tiki.
Well, and you because dogs are like people. You know, at least partly part products of their environment they're raising, that he would have different experiences with older kids and stuff. Be a different dog.
He'd be a Barbara Streisand fan, though, the new
that's
one.
That's a guarantee. Yeah. Absolutely. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. Eric, recently you wrote about this. This is the political hot season right now, and you've given some pretty sound advice to some various politicians. Want to talk about that?
I have, yes. Gave advice, first of all, the advice I gave to Donald Trump was, I think he should just come clean on this porn star affair.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it
Stormy
matters
Daniels.
To his, Stormy Daniels. I don't think it matters. I mean, nobody believes anymore that he didn't have an affair with or in 2006, right? Does anybody actually believe that he did not? I don't think anybody does.
I think everybody is kind of on board, and Sarah Huckabee Sanders has kind of tipped it in.
Kind of tipped it in, right? Inadvertently perhaps. But, but you know, it was 2006, and it's between, as far as I'm concerned, between him and Melania, right? And I think that his, and I'm not a supporter of his by any means, I think his supporters would feel that way quite strongly, which is like, okay, you did this. Now there's the payoff money issue and whether that's a violation of campaign finance laws, and that's a whole different problem. But I think for him to come out and to say, you know what, you know, yeah, I had my way with a porn star. Can you blame me? Can you blame her? I'm an virile man like me, and you know, how could I resist? And you know, it's between me and Melania, and it was 2006, and I haven't done anything like that since. And the end, because we're just in a different age than we were back when Gary Hart was photographed with his.
But how do the people, girlfriend on his knee, the evangelicals, the people who are deeply religious, how do they continue to support somebody who just had a child and then is sleeping around with a porn star?
They don't support that. It's a transactional form of support, right? He gives them something that they want, which is that he gives them appointments of conservative judges and
he's against abortion
in the Supreme Court, or at least now he is. Yeah, and he advances and protects their political interests in a variety of areas. Now the thing that conservatives are more upset with him than that. They're upset with him over this trade business.
Yeah.
These tariffs. But as far as other things go, they're thinking like, okay, yeah, this guy, no one ever said, and nobody ever voted for Donald Trump thinking he was a perfect man.
Yeah.
Or that he was even a moral exemplar. I think they voted for him because they thought that he was going to get certain things done. And he has gotten certain things done. He's, you know, like I said, he appointed Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court.
Right.
And they've been appointing conservative judges all over the country. He got, you know, some form of a tax cut in. I don't think it's all that good for a lot of Trump supporters, but he did follow through on that. So I say it's transactional. They support him because they would rather have him in the office rather than Hillary Clinton in the office, or any Democrat for that matter, for the most part. So, you know, I don't think, you know, you ask an evangelical about this and they'll say, well, no, we don't support that. But on balance, we still would rather have him there. I mean, would they rather have Mike Pence? Yeah, probably.
But what a
convenient
way of looking the other way. If you have a certain set of core values and a guy like this goes and violates those core values, how do you just embrace him?
You then can't set yourself on fire when the next Democratic president is caught having an affair or the next big Democratic leader is caught having an affair. And it's sort of interesting to look back at how quickly Al Franken was drummed out of the party.
Yeah.
People were saying, you know, like, this horrible man. He's unfit to serve and he must resign and so on. And you think, wow. Wow, really? That was in the height of the Me Too moment.
Mm-hmm.
But you think of the comparative levels of offense. I mean, Al Franken was apparently grabbing women by the butt, you know, a few times and so on. But you know, this cheating on your wife with a porn star 5 months after your son was born. Now that's pretty.
Seems
if you're talking about moral behavior, now of course it was you know, a consensual affair. Supposedly. So,
right.
And wouldn't it mean more if he just said, yeah, you know what? I had a lapse in judgment. Sorry.
A lap dance in judgment.
What?
A lap dance in judgment.
But I can't deal with a liar. I can forgive someone, but I can't forget if they're a liar. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
Just come clean.
And then you couple that with the fact that a couple of weeks ago he talked about how he was going to stand up to the NRA and that it was time to make some changes and stuff, and now he's just totally wobbled on that.
Well, he wobbles on a lot of things, and I think that this summit with North Korea may well not
the play
happen.
Date.
Yeah, the play date, because you know he said he's going to meet with him, he's going to talk to him, and then suddenly all of a sudden some conditions have been falling into place. Like they want to make sure that they do this, they do this, and ultimately they may realize that this isn't going to go anywhere. That this is something it's dangerous in some ways to give him that kind of a platform.
Yeah.
Without having any, you know, preconditions. And diplomacy is this kind of kabuki theater, right? Where a lot of things that happen at these summits have been worked out carefully by underlings months in advance so that it's all handshakes.
You just go in and finalize
conversations
it.
And it's a show as to what's been agreed to. It's not actual negotiations. And, you know, it could be that, you know, Trump could easily get rolled in negotiations with Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Because Kim Jong-un, I mean, I know he's kind of crazy, but I think he's also...
Kinda.
Well, but I don't think he's
dumb. He might be mad and he might be bad.
I don't but I don't think he's dumb.
Right.
I really don't. So, you know, there's that. So.
Thank you, Max Madsen, by
You're
the way.
Welcome, by the
way. Did not go unnoticed.
Thank you so, very much.
I was also urging Tony Preckwinkle in my
What's your advice for Tony Preckwinkle?
I'd like her to come clean just about how she feels about Joe Berrios, the Cook County assessor who's running for re-election. And, you know, Berrios has, you know, he's just not really very good at his job. Mm. We've had a lot of problems. The Tribune and ProPublica exposed the problems with the assessor's office. And then there's an independent report that came out just recently that underscored that. And yet a lot of Democrats are still sticking with Berrios against a fairly plausible challenger. And Preckwinkle is sticking with Berrios, but isn't really. She said, "Like, why?" She was asked on a debate, televised debate the other day, "Why are you doing this?" And she said, "Well, because he got the bills out on time," which, you know, it's not a very good excuse. And it feels just like, because you kind of, Toni Preckwinkle has this kind of integrity about her. She looks like a harsh school teacher. You think she's someone who you could really trust. Mm-hmm. And yet, coming up with this thing, I just feel like she had to do that. And my last piece of advice was to Andrea Rayla, who's the third person on the ballot. You guys following this at all in the assessor's race?
A little bit.
It's a little bit inside baseball, but she was the third candidate. There's Fritz Kagi is challenging Berrios in the primary, and Andrea Rayla is the third, and she gets knocked off the ballot, but she's appealing that, and her name right now is not on the ballot. When you go to vote, oh no, it is on the ballot. I'm sorry, it's on the ballot. But when you go to vote, they hand you a piece of paper saying if you vote for her, it might be a wasted vote because right now she's not officially on the supposed to be on the ballot. It was basically a mess up, I think, in the whole process of petitions and appeals and so on.
But they're wording it that way, saying it may not count.
They leave it open because they don't know. I mean, it could be that this week there's going to be a judgment from the appellate court that says she's on the ballot. But the problem with that is that she's lost all this time in campaigning and fundraising and everything, and she's not going to win this election. And if she really believes that Joe Berrios has to go, which I certainly feel that way, I know that the Tribune editorial board and a lot of editorial boards around town feel this way, that Berrios has not performed well, then you want to support the challenger. And if the challenger vote splits two ways, this is one of those elections where, you know, 34% of the vote could win it.
Right.
So my advice to her was just look, drop out and endorse somebody. You know, I would think she should endorse the challenger. But so far, I have to say that I'm 0-3 in my advice giving the other day.
That's sad to hear.
I'll probably have more advice as the week goes on. We have, 8 days now until the primary?
It's a week from tomorrow.
So next week we can talk all about exactly where it's all breaking and everything.
Looking forward to it. Great. Thanks, Eric. That's Eric Zorn from the Chicago Tribune. We'll take a quick break and then find out what Steve Bertrand has coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.